Well, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke spoke at an annual conference in Jackson Hole today, where last year he announced the Fed's indications for what would later become QE2. But today, he announced pretty much nothing. He continued on the line that although unemployment is going to be an issue, he doesn't expect the long-term growth potential of the U.S. economy to be affected by the crisis or the recession if the right steps are taken. He once again said that the Fed will take any necessary steps to help the economy, but he didn't mention any. And he once again pointed the finger at Congress and the White House, basically saying that better fiscal decisions need to be made. Over the monetary policy decisions that lie within the Fed's power. So, what's our takeaway here? And what are the chances that those right steps will ever be taken to get this economy back on track? Here to discuss this with me is Anthony Randazzo, Director of Economic Research for the Reason Foundation. Anthony, thanks so much for being here tonight. Yeah. So, what did you think of Bernanke's riveting speech today? I feel like anybody could have said that.
No, it was very, very riveting indeed. I think it was actually funny to watch CNBC right after the fact, or right after the text of his speech came out. They were so crestfallen. There was nothing to report. It was just same old, this is boring.
And the buildup has been huge. Everyone's waiting for this.
Yeah, no, and it actually went like straight back to commenting on Irene, because at least that was something interesting for them to talk about on CNBC. So that was basically what the media's takeaway for it in general today. It's not that surprising, because we already had a huge announcement this month. The Federal Reserve announced that it was going to keep interest rates at basically zero until 2013. So there was a possibility that Bernanke was going to say something big today, particularly given that GDP numbers came in for the second quarter revised down to 1% from 1.3. So the economy is even worse than how worse we thought it was.
But yet he thinks the long term is going to look great. I mean, is he a little overly optimistic here? Does he live on another planet?
No, he's not saying that the long term looks great, because they just came out and said in the FOMC statement.
Yeah, but he's saying the long term America can still rise up, our growth is going to continue, that he's optimistic.
If we do the right things, which is the key things. And then what he did was he went and he punted right back to Congress and the White House, which has been trying to kick to him for a while in talking about fiscal policy. And that really should be the biggest takeaway, is that what Bernanke was saying here is, look, I have tools. I'm not going to tell you what they are, because maybe I don't know what they are, but I have tools, but I want Congress to do it now. And Congress has been saying, and the White House has been saying, we don't want to take on fiscal policy reform. We don't want to take on tax reform. We don't want to take on entitlement reform. We definitely don't want to take on housing policy reform. Federal Reserve, you fix it. So they've been kicking. He just punted right back to them. It's like a Canadian football game.
Oh, that's just so fun for all of us to observe and have to watch.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, so you mentioned, of course, there was no QE3, right? That's one of the big tools that everyone immediately thinks that the Fed has. You mentioned also earlier this month, you and I spoke about that, when he said that interest rates are going to stay low. Mm-hmm. What other tools are there? Does Ben Bernanke not actually know what they are, or do some of them not exist?
So one of them is that the Fed pays banks interest on money that they hold and that they don't lend out. So one of the things that they could do is they could get rid of that. So now the Fed is no longer paying banks to hold on to money, making it more profitable for the banks to then lend that money. It's a very simple idea. Inflation issues come into play. So if they did that, they would be releasing a lot of money that's currently on the bank's books into the larger economy. So they would have to probably raise interest rates at the same time, which is one reason they don't want to do that. And raising interest rates would cost the United States government more money to borrow to continue to spend, as we spend $10 trillion. $20 trillion, $1 million trillion over the next 3 months, and so they don't want to do that, and so they have these various tools, but they're all linked to interest rates, which is one reason why they aren't really pulling the trigger on anything.
Do you think that the Fed has become a little too involved in the political process? I mean, the entire idea here, right, is they're supposed to be an independent body. They're supposed to rise above. But now we see this punting back and forth game between the Federal Reserve and between Congress. Now we even see presidential candidates bringing in the Federal Reserve. We saw Rick Perry talking about how it would be treasonous to print more money. And so suddenly he's like a player in the 2012 presidential race.
Well, part of me does think that it's important to have the Federal Reserve being discussed in a political sense, because the strength of the dollar, the purchasing power of the dollar, is immensely important when it comes to our recovery. So we should have presidential candidates actually talking about what Federal Reserve policy should be in some sense. But what they should be talking about is why the Federal Reserve has as much power as it does in the first place, and why it should be allowed to manipulate the system as much as it does, and whether or not the dual mandate is even effective, which it isn't. Which, so we should be talking about monetary policy, but not in how much power should we give Ben, like what should Ben Bernanke do, but how much power should the Federal Reserve have over particular decisions? What should monetary policy be in general? That's an important discussion. Whether or not we should have a strong dollar or a weak dollar, whether or not we want to favor policies that promote trade or restrict trade. Those are important things for politicians to actually discuss. It is problematic, though, that essentially the entire economy is riding on one speech of the Federal Reserve chairman, which is kind of what we are seeing happen today. You know,
it's
this entire week was building up to this entire month was building up to this speech.
It's a little depressing. I'm definitely with you there. Okay, so I also wonder, though, if the chances of Congress actually doing something to fix the economy right now. Right now we have a super committee that's supposed to make $1.2 trillion in cuts. We'll see how that goes. We have President Obama that's about to make a job speech. We'll see how that goes. I have no idea what these new ideas are that he's going to float around other than just say, we need to create more jobs. Maybe let's pass a few trade agreements. But then let's talk about housing policy, because those are one of the things that the Fed said, or that Ben Bernanke said, if we do the right things, then the economy can get back on track and that I can continue to be optimistic about America's future. Do you see any movement so far when it comes to fixing our housing policies?
Well, there's no substantive, like, overarching sort of movements. There are little things that are happening. And one of them is there's a lot of talk right now about creating a federal rental program out of the 500,000 or so homes that Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae own. And basically, by taking those, one of the ideas out there is take those homes, sell them to companies who will then rent them out. And if you sell all those homes, that will, in theory, stabilize housing prices. So the idea is if we stabilize housing prices, that's good for the economy.
So it's just a giant fire sale, though,
yeah,
essentially.
Essentially. However, this is problematic because we're still in a housing bubble. For there to be recovery, we can't be in a housing bubble. Housing bubble is part of what got us to this recession and great contraction that we're in right now. We need that housing bubble to go away. And for that housing bubble to go away, it means housing prices have to continue to fall a little bit more. So
but
a massive
point,
fire sale.
Housing prices are pretty low. I mean, how
relative,
much? If it's going to be a fire sale, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're selling them in bulk to private investors, which are going to be, you know, Goldman Sachs and perhaps some sovereign wealth funds, then how much are they actually buying them for? I mean, it's still very, very, very low, no?
They're going to buy them for low, but a fire sale right now, they're going to be able to negotiate those prices to kind of keep them higher than if just individual people were coming in to buy them.
And individual people aren't buying homes right now, but then if this program goes through, they won't even have the option of buying, right?
Well, they'll be able to buy homes somewhere,
but not
these homes, because these homes will be specifically only for rental. So we'll have this now, we'll have this massive deluge of rental homes, which is going to impact rental fees. So if you own homes right now you're renting out, if you're just like an individual that has a second or a third home that you're renting to people, all of a sudden you're going to be forced to lower those rents because you now have this massive bunch of homes. Now, if all those companies wanted to come in and buy them themselves without a big program that might impact rental prices, that's, you know, it's okay if those things happen, but it's when you have the federal government coming in and trying to say, we think housing prices should be at this price, and we think that it's okay if rental prices are fixed here, even if there's not as much demand for renting to do that in the first place. This is when this whole idea of letting the market fix the system, that cliche idea that that you like to roll your eyes at. This is when
I just don't think that it always works, and I think that we've seen
when it comes into play, and it's better because the government's program is going to screw with all those various things.
I want to ask you one last thing too, because we're running out of time, but I've been ranting about on the show recently this entire compromise, right, this settlement that's going on between the banks and the attorneys general of states. And we had Eric Schneiderman, the New York Attorney General, who is the sole opposing voice here, who now has been kicked off the executive committee, and we found out that the Obama administration is pressuring him. I mean, I think that this is just the most ridiculous, ludicrous, corrupt thing I've ever heard of.
Well,
Tell me if you're with me.
Okay, so I'm half with you. So here's where I'm with you, and it is that the idea of having all the bank's legal problems be summed up in one big deal that is only a deal that dealing with foreclosure and servicing issues, that's problematic.
Because afterwards they're banned from launching an investigation.
But here's where I think that the New York Attorney General is wrong. Is he's trying to get everything all in, like he's trying to get consumer problems, investor problems, and the mortgage, and the foreclosure problems, and the servicing things all in one package. That's a bad approach because that's going to take a really long time, and we need to get at least the servicing part done. So my thought here is, don't have a big overarching deal where they get all their legal troubles. Just solve the servicing issue and the foreclosure issue.
But at the same time, their idea of really solving it is kind of saying like, hands wiped clean, $20 billion. You guys are free to go. No new investigations.
I think the idea is you
just kick somebody off the committee because you don't like what they have to say is completely undemocratic. All right, Anthony, thank you so much for joining us.